Now, a lot of you struggle with this thing called a thought life. We've been dealing with this thing called a conscience, and I dealt with it at camp. And the kids get a little bit of a rehash, but I didn't go into the details about the thought life as much as I need to. Your thoughts, the seat also of your emotions and things like that, control who you are. Why? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, what you have to understand is media people understand that. They understand that when it comes to manipulating you to think a certain way, to get you to buy a certain object. They have people that are professionals at marketing, and what they do is they can literally take out a group of individuals that are, say, 30-year-old males that live in a particular section, make a certain amount of money, et cetera, et cetera. They'll pull that group of individuals out, and they will bombard your email. They'll bombard your text messages. They track everything you do and everywhere you go for the purpose of marketing. Look, it's not the mark of the beast. Don't go out here and think the preacher's speaking to preach about Revelation. We ain't going to go through the tribulation. So at the end they come up, well, they got a grain of rice now, and preacher, you know, people are taking it away, and they're becoming part machine, part human being, and the beast is right around the corner. Good, let him show up, because I get to get out of here. But preacher, don't you think the Antichrist is, you know, whoever the list is a mile long nowadays of who it's going to be? The latest one is, it's Zuckerberg, you know. I said, okay, good. Well, if that's him, I wish he'd hurry up and grow his horn so we can get out of here. You say, why? Because I'm not going to be here for the tribulation period. But the thing you have to understand is they do that for marketing. Now, a lot of what opened that up for you is your social media. They track or they scrape or they pull off all of your personal information, all of your data, whatever you want to call it, for the purpose of manipulating you. And it started off with manipulating you to how to sell you things. Now it has more to do with manipulating how you think about things so that they can actually present false information to you to make you think and do and respond a certain way to things that are not true. And now you find out the things weren't even true. Yeah, but you've already responded to those things. Why is it? It's a biblical principle. It's the devil using what God said a long time ago. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Protect or guard or keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, he said that the, what comes out of the heart are the envies and the strife, the division, the murders, and the so on and so forth. What? It's how you think. So we're not talking about the muscle down here. We're talking about your thought process. Now, if you monkey around with that, I mean, like I said to you, they track every time you swipe your card or every time you give your number, every time, whether it's a social security number, driver's license, tag number, car VIN number, a card on your plastic credit card, or whether you now have the thing on your, you know, just swipe the thing off and all that other kind of stuff. However you get it, every time you do that, you're releasing information. A long time ago, data became more valuable than oil. Your personal information is worth more on the market than oil is. You say, why? You control somebody's thinking, you can control a nation. Stalin knew that a long time ago. Well, long before Stalin, you know what the Lord said? That's exactly what he told you. The Lord told you the most important thing that you have that he gave you is to keep your conscience clear. Why? To keep it clean. Why? To keep that clear of offense toward one another. Why? Non-guilty, non-convicted conscience. Why? So that the Lord will show me the right way to think and the right thing to do and give you absolute truth. You can't get your truth off a computer. I know you think you can. Just ask Google, ask Siri, ask Bixby, ask whoever else is out there. But that's their version of truth. The real truth comes from the Bible. You have to check everything nowadays. Just because somebody has pictures and movement and stuff like that, you say, well, this has really happened. You don't know if that's true or not. They might have made a movie, the whole thing might be fake. Phony, put on. You don't know whether it is. I'm not throwing conspiracy theories at you. I'm saying that I told you the other day that before you can understand how you think right, you have to have something right to compare it to. Now, one of the things that happens here is that your thought process can get whacked out. You can imagine things. You can become paranoid. You can think everybody's talking about you. You walk in, you see two people talking, and they shut up the minute you walk by. You know what you think? They must have been talking about you. Maybe they're planning you a surprise party. You don't know what they were talking about, but your natural way of thinking is, well, how come they didn't ask me to be in on the conversation and they shut up when I walked by there? They must be talking about me. And so now you just picked up two enemies when those people didn't, they just didn't want their business out to talk to you. Or maybe they were fixing to stop and say hello to you, but mentally, you know what happened? Your thought process changed. on the television, on the internet and stuff like that. They try to control how you think about things. And I'm not just talking about Fox and CNN and MSNBC and whatever news people you watch. All that stuff is manipulative also. How do you know? It's supported by marketing. They buy time on marketing. You can tell what they think is the most valuable times by who it is that advertises during those times. They know who's watching during those times. You say, how do they know? They gather your information. You say, why? They know if they can control your thought process, they can control you. They can make you feel empowered because you wear a power tie, drive a powerful car, and have a powerful suit on, and wear powerful shoes, and work at a powerful company. Then you must be powerful. No, you might be Mr. Rogers and working don't you be my neighbor? You don't have any idea what that is. It's a mindset. Now, the Lord tells you some things about this way of thinking because it's important. And negative thinking can affect you, and negative influences or toxic influences can affect you. Sometimes you'll have somebody tell you something about yourself. You're ugly, your mom addresses you funny. And if you put any stock in what they just said, you know what it can do? It can shape your identity for the future. If you put any faith in it. You know what else it can do? It can depress you. It can down you. It can put you down to the point you say, why? You're giving them credibility. They don't have the ability to hurt you unless you let them hurt you. If you have a husband or a wife like that, then we need to pray for you. You say, why? That's a control issue.
Amen.
What they want to do is try to put you down, mash you down, call you names, and treat you. You say, why? Because if they can get you to think that way about yourself, it's easier for them to control yourself. Hitler took over an entire nation. You know what he did? He made the scapegoat the Jews. What did he call? He called them vermin. And he kept calling them vermin. People think it's all this stuff today and all this stuff today. No, Goering came out with one of the greatest political campaigns there ever was. Long before Obama, long before Trump, long before Clinton, long before them using social media. You know what that guy did? That guy wound up putting out leaflets and pamphlets and running little video clips in movie theaters and things like that. And comparing Jews to rats and Jews to rats and Jews to rats. And then show swarms of rats and show bubonic plague and showing people dying and all that kind of stuff. The guy was a genius, demon possessed, but he was a genius. You say, why? He implanted in the thought of everybody that wasn't a Jew, that's just a rat. He didn't start killing them right off the bat, lining them up at the used to be pharmaceutical company up there called Auschwitz, which was there long before it was done as a place to dispose of Jews. You have to do some historical research to find that out. But they turned that place into a place that was a disposal place. We have the train come through there, a disposal place for Jews. You say, what did he do? He created a propaganda machine to make people believe these people are the reason that you're poor. These people are the reason you're hungry. These people have all of your jobs. These people are the reason you have disease. These people are the reason you have medical infirmities and birth defects. These people are the problem. And then when it got to be, if you're a Jew, yell a star, blow them up in a car. Well, you're just loading up a rat. Who cares? Don't tell me thoughts don't matter. Stalin eliminated 9 million of them the same way. And Hitler did that by what? A propaganda machine. What? Control the mind first. Control the mind first. They had to dehumanize them first. And then after they dehumanize them, just a matter of exterminate them. Let me ask you a question. How many of you love a roach? Not the kind you smoke on. You got to clarify nowadays. You know, how'd you know there was one in my ashtray? Tell me which car you're in. I got a policeman that has your number. I'm not talking about that kind of roach. Some of the kids are like, Mom, you actually smoke roaches? Yeah, you get them with the wings on them and you fire them up, man. But listen to me now. How many of you love roaches? What are roaches good for? Killing. Your mind's pretty well set on it. What if I were to get up here and tell you right now, folks, they've been telling you wrong all the time, that's one of the greatest, highest protein meals you'd ever want to eat. Bowl of roaches. See? Your mind's already made up. I'm not telling you that's the highest protein meal there ever is. Don't go... It would be organic, that'd be for sure. What I'm saying to you is I'm trying to illustrate to you, this thing started long before your social media and all that now. They know if they control your mind, they're using a biblical principle. God wants to control your heart, your mind, how you think about things. Why? In order to help you turn out the right way. God fixed this thing where if you'll listen to Him, you can't help but succeed. You just have to be willing to be obedient. How do you know? 1 Samuel 15, to obey is better than sacrifice. Then he says, don't you know that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is idolatry? The contrast there is, if you obey, you come out right. I don't care how many sacrifices you offer. If you obey, you come out right. Saul, what in the cat hair are you doing? You quit listening to God. He's not talking to you anymore. You can't get anything. Your conscience is seared. You won't listen to anybody try to tell you. Samuel came in there and tried to tell you. You wouldn't listen to him. You wouldn't take any orders. Next thing you know, you're down there getting orders from a witch. What was his problem? His conscience was seared and his thought process was messed up. And guess what happened? He wound up dead. Now, I'm trying to convince you that you have to be careful about being around toxic people, poisonous people. One of the things Bible believers have a bad habit of is sometimes you're way too negative. You think it's your job to correct all the positivity in the world. Well, it's not your job to do that. You should be reasonably positive, possibly or probably balanced. It would be a good way to put that in there because a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But it's not your job to be all negative. Some of you are way too negative. All you do is find all the stuff wrong about everybody. And you just see what they did. Well, yeah, but look at all the good things they did. One of the things a guy encouraged me to do one time, and he said, because you background I came from and all that, he said, you've been trained to find negative behavior. I said, well, that's true. He said, you got paid for it. I said, well, that's true. And he said, I would encourage you as a pastor, look for the positive things in people. I said, you sound like my mother. And he said, well, then your mom was right. He said, because you know what? If you spend more time looking at the positive, you'd be surprised when the negative shows up. You think, well, I've already got four positives and just one negative. And that's a great way to think. Look at this thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm going to get more on the conscience. And if you be here, and by the way, I appreciate the privilege of going. Brother Bobby's been up there for 50 years, and I talked to him today. He's real excited about people coming from all over the country. 50 years in the ministry is a big deal, man. And the people coming up there for the meeting and that kind of a deal. And he said, I ought to be honest. He said, I'm glad to hear the good news about Drina. He said, I feel a lot better about having the celebration here. And he said, I know it'll make Mama Utley feel a whole lot. He called Mama, make her feel a lot better about it. And we got people coming. And I realize I don't miss many Sundays, but I appreciate the privilege. It's a big deal to be asked to be a part of that thing and to be able to preach that 50th anniversary. So it won't be Sunday, but I'll catch up on this and we'll continue with the conscience. Now watch. Verse number 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we certainly do. That's your human body. We do not war after the flesh. Why? Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare were not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We'll deal with those later on. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, one of the things you have to realize is a little bit of poison goes a long way. The statistic that I got, and I failed to write down the reference was, is that the majority of severe illnesses, 87% of them come from a wrong thought process. You look down, you go down. You keep thinking bad about yourself, you know what happens? You become what you think of. Now, I'm not for going to the opposite extreme and post, Maseratis over all over your wall and dream if you're going to have a Maserati. The only one you'll ever get's out of the model store where you can make a model of it. Just because you dream about it, unless you're going to work for it, you ain't going to get it. That's not the epitome of success. But there is a balance to understanding what being successful is. You might think success is monetary. Okay, if that's your standard. But that's not God's standard. You can be perfectly happy being where you are, doing what you're doing, and making $10 an hour. I know a lot of men that are happy doing just what they're doing. They're not interested in making any more. You say, well, they got time with their family. They got time for church. They got time to do stuff for the Lord. They're not all wrapped up about business and having to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, be on call and have their phone buzzing and email going off. They take off and go hunting. They go fishing. They don't live in nice houses as some of you do. They don't drive as nice of cars as you do. But they got a lot more time than some of you do. I mean, there's a cost associated with that. That's what you want to do, that's fine. What's God's idea of success? You know what God's idea of success is? God's idea of success is a man that finds the will of God and sets about doing it. Amen. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Preach to me. Okay, no problem. You're doing what God wants you to do? Good, help yourself. Enjoy yourself. Don't be so jacked up about it. the Lord let me be a policeman for a long time. The old preacher said it was because I was slow and took him a long time to put me through seminary. That may be true, but at any rate, he was maturing me during that time period and running me across the people that I didn't know. That I needed to know. I know this. I know your thought process is the most key ingredient after your fellowship with the Lord to keeping you in fellowship with the Lord. You know what the devil likes to do? He wants to control your thoughts. Say, how do you know? Well, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what I know? I know you get to watching the television and you get to thinking that guy looks happy because he has this and he has this and he has this. Boy, if I just had that. And then you're headed for trouble. What about toxic influences, preacher? What about things that'll cause me to get desensitized, things that are not right? What are toxic influences? Well, I don't know. It's not everything, something that will make you sick. But it's something that'll certainly create problems for you over a period of time. What are influences? Well, for me, it would be social media. That's toxic. It's full of poison. And what's amazing to me is you people that continue to fool around with that stuff, must not even be watching the news. They're actually saying it themselves now, that they created a monster. They're saying that. The people that created the Twitter and the Instagram and the Snapchat, I know you can get it like right off of there and nobody will even know it was sent and all that stuff. But you know what they're saying? They won't even let their kids play with it. They're saying it's ruined the minds of Americans. You know what it's done? It's created a whole generation of people that think they can't survive without a computer. You don't know how to think. You ask Google. You ask Google. I'm going through a place the other day. It wasn't Walmart, or I would have remembered it. Anyway, we're going through there and this kind of thing. And the girl's in the cash register there, and I handed her some cash money. And I saw her pause for a minute. And I said, don't you dare ask Google. And she looked at me like, how'd you know? You know what she was going to do? She was going to subtract on Google, just say it by voice. And instead of just put it in the register, it'll tell you what the number is. You know, I wanted to reach over there and... That's how you do it. But you know what it is now? Pick it up and say it. Pick it up and say it. Pick it up and say it. I have people sitting, you know, in church. It ain't the Baptist salute anymore. I'm checking my email, man. Why? Because I'm important, man. I can't unplug. There's some of you signed into Facebook right now. Right now. Right now. This minute. You're signed in. You can't wait to get out of here. You say, why? You're trending. You're trending. I'm trending. The Bible says, when a man thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Amen. What does that do? That makes me feel. You say, what is it? Toxic influences. Some of you have toxic friends. You have toxic relationships. You have toxic friendships. You have people around you that are just downers all the time. You get around a man, they always look like they lost their best friend. And they never have a good day. If the sun is outside and it's beautiful, they're like, yeah, it's probably going to rain. Why? I left the umbrella at the house. Gonna mess up my hair. I didn't get any sunscreen. I'm gonna get burned. Now I'm sweating. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and you're around that. The next thing you know what happens? You're like, yeah, it's probably gonna rain. Why would you be around that? You know, hey, we're gonna go to church on Wednesday night. Why are you doing that? I mean, what's the point of that? That guy's the same way all the time. Like a sinking Q-tip dipped in iodine, man. He thinks the Bible's the most important thing in the whole world, you know? What an idiot, man. He's not even in touch with life. I mean, what a fool, all them people up there. You know? Why don't you come with us? You say, what are you talking about? People want to control your way of thinking. Make no mistake, where I started, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. When you have people that are using your thought process, you are not dealing with people. Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, spiritual wickedness, rules of darkness in high places. These are just some things that I wrote down here for you. If they're toxic, that means they're poisonous. I don't know how much antifreeze you think you have to drink before you die, but it don't take a lot. It's better for you to just not drink it at all. Well, I just kind of keep drinking it, and as long as I don't die and all that, no, I wouldn't fool with it at all. I wrote this one down here. How about toxic religions? Sometimes you spend too much time with people of other religions and other faiths and all that kind of stuff, and in the name of trying to convert them, but the fact is you're not sure in your own and sound in your own faith. Don't you have to accept the fact everybody's not like you? Everybody's not going to get on the boat. I wish I could tell you otherwise. The Bible says even in the last days there'll come a falling away first, giving heed to seducing spirits and so on and so forth. You know what the thing you have to understand is that if I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, everybody's not going to come with me. Everybody's not going to go along. That's just part of the deal. It's not for everybody. That's okay, isn't it, when you want to get promoted at work? Do you want everybody to get promoted at work? No, you want to be promoted over everybody at work, right? You don't care if everybody gets promoted with you from first grade to second grade to third grade to sixth grade to 10th grade to high school to go to college. You could care less. Why is it that you think when it comes to religion, everybody ought to be the same? That's because that thing right there is the most important thing that there is, and the devil knows it. That's why he's trying to get everybody on the same page. You get everybody on the same page. You know what you do? You have to sink to the lowest common denominator. It's like if I have 10 guys right here and I want all 10 of them to pass, I have to find the weakest individual and draw my standard based on the weakest individual if I want everybody to pass. Instead of saying, here's the standard, and if you don't make it, we cut you. They started doing that across the country. Years ago, they did that with the police department. They kept bringing it down, bringing it down. They can't get over the wall. They can't get over the wall. Okay, then they don't get hired. No, we need to lower the wall. That's too hard. No, what we need to do, have them run around the wall. Well, maybe you have somebody stand there and give them a boost over the wall. Some of the guys that I went through, man, they take them over the wall and fling them over the wall because it irritates. Then there's good, the dummy drag. You know, you have a dummy drag. This is in-service training. It didn't even have to happen in the beginning. And then a dummy drag. And then the girls would get down there and they'd be like, He's like, no, he don't need a shower. He ain't gonna drag him out of the burning building. Let's go. Get him out of the car. Get him away from the gasoline. Come on, you know, put your back into it and start pulling, you know. And okay, and then, so it's kind of like, you know, okay, well, maybe we can make this a two-man, and maybe we can do it. Maybe it's just too heavy. Maybe it's not realistic enough. If my hind end's in the car, I don't care who it is. I want you to drag me out. But then it's like, well, it may not ever happen in the law of averages. And so what happens? They keep bringing it down, and then they keep bringing it down, and they keep bringing it down. And then all of a sudden, we're hiring a bunch of people. It's amazing. They can't even write a report. And so it's like, okay, high school's not enough anymore. They have to have 2 years of college. They still can't. So now it's 4 years of college and remedial report writing school. And tens of thousands of dollars are spent to show a guy he can drive a car, but he can't write a report. He can't spell. And he's supposedly got a college education. You say, what happened? Bring the standard down, down, down. Guess what happens with Christians? Let's just keep bringing it down and keep bringing it down. And where's the common denominator? Hey, let's all just come in jeans and cutoffs, man. And let's just, you know, let's listen to Jimmy Buffett and have a hot dog and pizza and some beer. And we're all good to go. No separation, no standards, no idea of the right way to live, the right way to do, the right Bible and all that stuff. You say, why? Because nowadays, one of the questions I got at camp was, is that, well, suppose you have a friend that's not doing right. How do you separate from that friend and still be a good Christian? Separating from that friend makes you a good Christian. But the world's idea of a Christian is that you tolerate. No. I have to tolerate them until they infringe on my beliefs. But if I tolerate them, they got to tolerate me. I mean, that's what freedom's all about, right? So I'll listen to what you have to say, but you have to listen to what I have to say. And you know what I know? I don't want to be around you. You say, why? You're queer. Good. Fine. You go ahead and do whatever you want to do. You say, why? I don't run around with you. You say, why? I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Maybe you do. You say, well, I just don't understand that, preacher. They just seem to be so nice. Okay, well, help yourself then. That Bible tells me to abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm either going to line up with God or I'm going to line up with the world. Amen. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Amen. Yes or no? Okay, then why can't you get off the cotton picking fence? Amen. I'll tell you why. You're watching too much of this. Amen. Too many influences come along the way. You say, what is it? Hollywood's behind all of that. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to soft pedal that stuff. They start with cartoons. I saw some cartoons the other day standing in a store. They got cartoons running. I think it was a store. Yeah, it was a store. I was standing in a store. They got cartoons playing and I'm watching. And they got a girl that comes out, or at least she thinks she's a girl. She's got a haircut like a boy and she's dressed like a boy. And then they have this little old guy coming out there, one of these little foreign things with these blue hair stuff and all that. And this little thing come out. It wasn't Teletubbies. Come out there and the guy's dressed in these soft pastel colors. And you can hear the tone in their voice. For kids, for little bitty kids, you can hear the tone. And the girl's more like this. And the boy's more like, oh, well, you know, I'm just not really sure. I just feel so. And sometimes I can't really get in touch with myself. And it's just really. And it's kind of like, oh, pitiful. So what is that? Toxic influence setting you up. I'm saying you got to go out and be the man's man. I got to be a lumberjack and live in Alaska and, you know, kill wolves for lunch and that kind of a thing, you know. Me and my wolves went hunting, you know, I got them on a chain. I'm not talking about that. That's ridiculous. But what I'm trying to get you to see is these things that are written right here, these are things, what are they done for? They're to affect what you do and where you go. Sure. You want to come out right? You have to cut the toxicity out. Sure. And that's something nobody can do for you. You have somebody in your life that is just constantly, constantly, constantly putting you down. You know what you might want to do? You might want to get you a pair of scissors. Or, in some cases, it might be your boss or somebody else close to you. You know what you might have to do? You might have to say, I'm not going to let them have that influence on me anymore. You may not be in a position where you can just walk away from it. But you've now given them your right to a good day. Right? You wake up, time of a good day, drive to work, no bad problems coming along with traffic, walk in the door, and there he or she is at the water cooler. You try to duck the water cooler and you go over to the coffee bin and there he or she is, and they got something to say just like that, and your whole day's gone. What? Just like that. Just like that. And you say, why? You gave them power over your thought process. You've empowered them that their opinion of you is how you're living instead of what God says about you. You know what it'll do? It'll ruin your day. You say, why? I don't know how many people are in here now, quite a few for a Wednesday night, especially. You've got all these people, you have different ideas of everybody in here. That means you could change your idea over 100 times tonight. Well, I think, yeah, I'd rather not try to do that. Now, what does the Lord do? The Lord gives you a conscience. And in that conscience, if it's lined up with the Bible, when these thoughts come along the way, the Lord will say, now, is that how I would think? When the influences come in, the Lord says, is that what I'd listen to? Is that what I'd watch? Is that what I'd pay attention to? You say, if not, it's poisonous. It's trying to change who you are. A little bit of it leavens the whole lump. What happens when I get into the wrong, religions? Well, preacher, you know, I was listening to this guy the other day, and he's a really good preacher, and he's really, really entertaining, and he's really funny, and he really did this and that and the other. And I know he's a little bit off color here, and he's a little bit off the bubble here, and he's a little bit off there, and a couple of the things he says are kind of whacked out. But you know what? I mean, there was just some really good things that he said. Careful. A little bit of poison goes a long way. Before long, you'd be saying to your friends, you know, you ought to hear this guy. You ought to listen to this woman. I mean, I know I don't believe in women preachers, but man, she's really got some things to say. You should come over to the house for Bible study. You need to have Bible study. I'll teach you the things the preacher ain't teaching you. Show you the deep things in the Bible. That kind of thing. How about friendships? How about relationships? Is that enough? Look, Psalms chapter number 1. Blessed is a man, happy is a man, that does what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The Lord said, you know the key to a happy Christian life? You have to be willing to be separated. All right, so we talked about those things. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that for right now. We'll come back to thoughts later on, because thoughts are the thing that drives your engine. If your thought process is correct, you'll generally wind up in the right place. That's why I recommend you wash your mind out with the Bible on a daily basis. I mean, every day. You say, well, why should I do that? Because things are going on inside of you that you can't see. Things are happening inside your mind when you read that Bible. You're feeding the inner man. But you know what else you're doing? You're sending support to that conscience. You're sending support to that conscience. You're sending support to that conscience. You say what? You're saving it up for a rainy day. If you're not doing that, then what you're doing is that conscience is getting weakened. And when that conscience gets weak, then guess what? It becomes real close to, or very easy, should I say, to be defiled. And once it gets defiled, it can turn from defiled to dirty, and from dirty to evil, and from evil, it can get seared, and then before long, you're not even the same person. I could tell you some people here that walked out over a couple of things, and I said, listen, brother, you might want to consider this, this, and this, and they're like, well, I just don't believe that anymore. I had a man approach me just the other day. You know what he said? The guy left here, he said the guy claims to be a full-blown atheist now. Doesn't even believe in God, doesn't believe God's even there. If God's really God, then how did he let this happen, that happen, and so on and so forth? Where did it start? Reformation. Reformed Calvinism. Religious religiosity, where we get all into the standards and we're becoming holy and pure and purifying and covenant theology and all that stuff. Next thing you know, he's in a ditch. I know a guy right now that wrote a book, and in that book basically he says you don't have to rightly divide anything. It's all the same across the board. Well, then why worry about the millennium? Why worry about the tribulation? Why worry about the rapture? Why worry about pre-tribulation? If it's all the same, then why worry about it at all? You say, what is that? That's toxic. That's poison. You say, what do you do? A little bit of that goes a long way. I got all I need to know. He's whacked out. I'm not fooling with him. All right, so then what happens? Now, I gave you this already. What's the time right now? I don't have a... All right, give me just a few minutes now. I'll do my best to get you out of here by 8 o'clock unless I forget what I'm doing here. This is hugely important. You can't get your truth from the media. I don't care how many times. The more times they tell you it's truth, the more times you're suspicious. Can't tell you how many times they're in the box. I swear on my mother's eyes, you know. I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth. I swear. Okay, well, whatever. The more you're telling me you swear, the more I know you're lying. Right? The more they tell you this is the absolute truth and we got pictures, this and that, and the other, the more you know it's probably a con game being run on you. Truth is important. Why? The devil is connected with a lie. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, you remember that right there. When you lie, you're practicing the devil's tools. The devil uses his tongue, speaks with a forked tongue, some truth and some lie, but it's connected to the same singular tongue. The devil doesn't abide in the truth. The world doesn't understand truth. I know you got this already, but I'm going back over it just real quick. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, and the truth is the same thing that cleanses you. But it not only does that, truth also sets you free. If you want to get out of bondage of a besetting sin, you have to do it by acknowledging the most difficult truth in all the Bible. What is that truth, preacher? Some wild, whacked out, way out theology about blood-sucking angels from Jupiter or something like that or whatever? No, the most difficult truth in that Bible to accept is one where God says, you're the man. Amen. David got that and Saul didn't. The Lord sent that preacher in there. Nathan went in there to David and David told the story and said, you're the man. David said, you got me. He sent Samuel in there to Saul. Saul said, well, the people. Saul went right back to Genesis 3 and said, Adam, you know where you are? Yeah, well, what you doing over there hiding in the bushes? Well, Lord, the woman you gave me. Well, Eve, come on out here front and center. What you doing hiding in the bushes? Well, Lord, the serpent. You know, there's three things in that passage I gave you in Genesis chapter number 3 that are true about human nature. First of all, what you shouldn't be afraid of, you're now afraid of. You shouldn't be afraid of God. You know why a lot of people don't come to church? They're afraid God's going to speak to them. They hide from the voice of the Lord. Well, isn't that the first thing you try to do with your sin? You try to hide it? Come on, be honest. Isn't that what we all do? I'm right there with you. I'm just telling you, okay? The first thing we try to do is hide. Second thing we try to do, we blame somebody else. Right? Third thing we do, try to cover it up. Isn't that what they did? Every one of them. They try to do that. Hide it, cover it up, blame somebody else. And then the Lord comes out and says, well, now what about? We find ourselves in a mess. Hardest thing in the world is to say, you know something? I want to be free. The Lord said, okay, how about working on your big mouth? How about working on your envy and strife and division and your bitterness? How about working on your anger and wrath and strife and emulation? As a matter of fact, when that grieving of the Holy Spirit shows up in Ephesians chapter number 4, He doesn't list smoking and drinking and cussing and going to movies and wearing miniskirts. You know what He talks about? Sins on the inside. Things on the inside. You know what God's interested in? God's interested in the inside. You know what Pharisees are interested in? The outside. You say, well, you wear a suit and tie. Yeah, it doesn't mean the inside's clean, though. I do this out of respect for who I'm talking to and who I'm speaking for. But ladies and gentlemen, that don't make you clean. You can clean it all day long. The Lord said about the Pharisees, He said, you know what? On the outside, you're like a whited sepulcher. But on the inside, you stink like a dead man's bones. Heart trouble. So He tells you, you know what? Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't give them over to the devil. You have to acknowledge the truth about yourself in order to set yourself free from the devil. A little girl at camp drew me a picture. And the picture, I've talked about the devil having some of the kids on chains, big collars on them, spiked collars, and him holding about 8 chains or so up there. And she drew a picture of the devil back here in the background. And in his hand, he's got the leashes and he's got these Christians that are all out here. It's a cartoon, but it's a good picture. And got the leashes like that. And she's getting it from that right there. Because the devil has some of us bound up. You say, what? Besetting sin. What? We won't acknowledge that we're the problem. Always somebody else. Eve. Well, now, Lord, you're right. You got me. But, I mean, look at what Eve did. I mean, you know, I'm not as bad as Eve. Surely I'm not as bad as Eve. Same thing happened with Cain. Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Because you showed favoritism to somebody else? No. I didn't show favoritism. I blessed him because he did what I told him to do. Now, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll bless you. I'm not doing it because I have to go to my brother to get it right. Some of you have aught against your brother or sisters in Christ, and you've had it for years. And you know what? You do real good until all of a sudden that Mary in your life or that Martha in your life or that John in your life shows up. Right when you start getting right with God, that person will stand up right in front of you and be like, how come they're here? Pete gets forgiven of the Lord over there in John chapter number 21. And then all of a sudden the Lord said, okay, Pete, you're back in fellowship. And now you're one of my disciples. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pass the biscuits and that kind of thing. And then he says, you know, some of you are going to be around here till I come back in the second advent, boy. And he spake of John. And Pete says, how come you're doing that for John? And the Lord said, what business is it of yours? You just got back in fellowship. Why are you worried about what I'm doing with them? Same thing will happen with Mary and Martha all the time. Martha will be standing there and all of a sudden Mary walks in. Oh, my Lord, here she comes again. Can't get her to help me in the kitchen. And here she is coming out there like she's Miss Super Christian, pouring ointment on Jesus. You say, what will happen? You're the one with the problem. It's not them. You're the one that has the wrong thought. How about purge yourself of that? You say, but preacher, if you knew. No, see, that's what I'm talking about. You got to be willing to apply the truth. If you acknowledge the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That's a difficult thing. So if you want the keys, that's a happy thought life. That's the correct thought life. That's a clean thought life. Revenge is the one that'll get you. Revenge will get you every time. You say, why? You get blinded with revenge. You know what revenge is? Revenge is like you drinking the poison and expecting the person you hate to die. They're over there, man. They're, you know, you're taking medication while they're on vacation. They're having the time of their life, man. And, you know, it ain't bothering them at all. You got pictures of them. They're just perfectly happy. And everybody thinks they're all that in a bag of chips. And they laugh and talk and cut up with them and all. And you're just sitting over there and thinking, how can them people not know what I know about it? And the Lord said, why don't you just let the thing go? It's interrupting me and you. I'm on it right now, whether you know it or not. You say, what are you dealing with? The stuff that besets us. Besetting sin. The stuff that besets you is not smoking, drinking, and cussing, and telling dirty jokes, and going to movies. That's not you. You don't go to the dance clubs, and not you people. You don't do that stuff. That's why the Lord writes the Bible to us. And He said, how about that heart? How about that heart? How about that heart? I'll tell you where some of you have a besetting sin. You call God a liar. You say, I never call God a liar. He said He'd forgive you, didn't He? Didn't He? Why don't you let Him forgive you? 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You know what the next verse is? You blame God if you don't believe if He did it. He said He would. You start off with lying to yourself, then you have God lying about you, and then you wind up doing, then you lie about God, then you wind up lying and then call God a liar for not doing what He said He'd do. Why don't you let Him forgive you? You say, well, my friends, well, your friends may or may not ever forgive you. Base your God's forgiveness based on that. While I'm on it, I'll just touch on it briefly and I'm going to move on. If you have somebody that did you wrong and ask you to forgive them and you won't forgive them, you are a perfect pathway for the devil if 2 Corinthians 2 is right. The Bible says it's one of his devices. And you won't forgive somebody that did you wrong. I know some of you people, you sit around, you've been 10, 12, 15, 20 years mad at somebody that did something. And every time you have an argument, you know where you go back to? Are you listening to me? You go back to when that wrong was done. You never got over it. You sure can't have much of a marriage that way. I can back, man. I'm glad my wife's memory's starting to fade a little bit. A doctor scared me today. She said, I'm starting to remember some things now, and I'm starting, and I'm thinking, that might not be good, you know. And the doctor looked at me, and she said, don't worry, it's going to come back. I'm like, oh, man, I've been doing pretty good here for the last few months, but she might remember 25 years ago. You know, that's how a woman is, gentlemen. She's like an elephant. Can I get a witness? Yeah, 25 years ago, you did. It's like, baby, come on, really? Now, let me tell you how the man is. He ain't forgot. He just ain't stupid enough to bring it up. I didn't say you were stupid. What you laughing at? All right? You have to desire it. You can't force it. I'm not going to get past more than the recap. You have to desire it. It can't be forced. This is where the right way of thinking is generated. You remember that passage I gave you over there in Genesis chapter number 6? In Genesis chapter number 6, the Lord said He looked down upon mankind and He saw that the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. That's the same thing as a reprobate. When I gave you the passage in Romans 1, it's not like the Lord turned them over and made them reprobate. He turned them over to the mind that was already reprobate. The word reprobate just means of no value. There's nothing there. As a matter of fact, I gave you some of the verses, or I did at camp anyway, I gave you some of the verses that show the work you do can show up at the judgment seat of Christ and can be of no value or reprobate. It's not that when He says reprobate, He means queer. Like the Lord made them reprobate, that's what made them queer. No, the Bible said because they didn't like to retain God's inner knowledge, God turned them over to do those things that were unseemly. They were already doing it. And then God turned them over to what they were already doing. What they were already doing was reprobate. God didn't make them reprobate and then make them be queer. Then you'd hold God accountable for sin. You can't do that. That's not what the passage said. That's just English. He said God gave them over to what they were already doing. They had nothing. Can you imagine God looking down in your brain and saying there's nothing of any value in there? There's nothing of any spiritual consequence or any value at all whatsoever. I'm just going to let them go the way they're going and just turn you over to think like that? They were already doing it. It's in the passage. Men with men and women with women. I'm preaching, that's how come them. God made them reprobate and then God made them queer. So you're going to make God making them that way. Well, then you're going to put the sin on God. No, you know what God did? God let them go ahead and do that. Let me say this when I deal with this thing as far as thinking is concerned. You want to be careful about negative thinking and fearful thinking. You want to be thinking about critical thinking and being discontented. Those are four areas of thinking that will get you in trouble every time you turn around. How do you know? The Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. He wrote that in prison. You ever look at what Paul's been through? Why? Because he knows that state of discontentment is the devil stepping in. You ever wonder why Eve's looking at the tree? She thought she was missing out on something. Oh no, preacher, how do you figure that? She didn't want a piece of fruit. No, she didn't want a piece of fruit. She wanted to be like a god. The devil knew exactly what that girl wanted. You shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. She didn't fall down like people make it up. She fell up. He appealed to intellect, appeal to a reputation, get you every time. Don't you want a promotion? Well, if God wants me to have it, I'll let God give it. Well, I got a way to cut the corner, baby. Eat. Doesn't hurt me. And the next thing you know, you're 6,000 years later, and how's that working out for you? All right, now I gave you these verses and I'm not going to run them to you right now, but this has to do with your thought life. All of this stuff right here deals with your thought. If you commit your works unto the Lord, your thoughts will be established. This has to do with thinking on the right things, pure thoughts, clean thoughts, right thoughts. This is not to think the way the rest of the world thinks. He said, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Washing of the water of the Word. You have to learn to put the right way of thinking in. What's the right way? Preacher, nobody knows what the right way of thinking is. I know one right way of thinking for everybody in the world. It comes from that Bible right there. You say, why? That's God's way of thinking. You learn to do that, you're going to be okay. All right, now I gave you this right here. This is a recap for some of you and brand new to some of the other ones of you. You can come up here later and take a picture of it or do whatever you want to do with it. This is 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16, and he's talking about Scripture. When we talk about Scripture, we're not talking about some stuff written on papyrus or platypus or anything else back there. You're talking about the Bible, King James, it's in your lap. The text that is not copyrighted. Not the notes, not the maps, the text, not copyrighted. Why? Because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. What's it given for? It's all Scripture of God is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the four applications of Scripture right there. Doctrine, simple way. What's right? Reproof, what's not right? What is correction? Get the thing right. Doesn't do me any good to know what's wrong if I don't know how to get it right. And then instruction. How do I stay on the right path? How do I keep it right? So, how does God speak to me? Now we're getting down to the meat of the thing. And this is where we got on Sunday. Here's the presentation. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. But in James chapter number 1, presentation. Saw the tree was good for food. Nothing wrong with presentation. But you better right quick pull something up to contrast it with. Amen. Something to measure it by. How do I know what I'm looking at's not right? How do I know what I'm reading is not right? How do I know what I'm not listening to? Listen, you have senses. There's five of them. There's five things that come into you. That's five avenues that have a way of getting in. That's your flesh. It can come in through something touching. How do I know what I'm touching I shouldn't touch? Well, I'm just touching it. Okay, then how come your stomach's turning upside down? You're touching something you shouldn't touch. You're picking up something you shouldn't pick up. Right? Well, what about for my feet where I'm going, preacher? I'm places where I shouldn't be. Something doesn't feel right. Well, preacher, what about what I'm tasting? Well, now you know better than to have that stuff. That's got alcohol in it. That's got liquor in it. That's got smoke in it. You know that's not natural for you to have. That's not a good testimony for you to have. That's not a good way for you to be. Well, now, preacher, I've known people, you know, spit and chew, and they've done that, and they live to be 90. That has nothing to do with anything. Hasn't do anything with that. I don't care if they live to be 120. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you want to be pleasing to God. So you mean to tell me you can't, you know, go to heaven and chew tobacco? Well, you have to go to hell to spit, but I guess you could. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with whether or not you want to be in fellowship. God pleased with it, you know? Pack it down and hand him a chew. You go, well, you ain't lived, but you have this, man. I'm telling you right now, man, give me a Coke ball to them, man. My wife don't like to kiss me right now. I don't know why, babe. Good stuff, man. Get you a little high now and then, you know. Also, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, preacher, look, it's your personal deal. I don't care. It's none of my business. I'm being honest with you. It's your business. Preacher, it doesn't break my fellowship. Well, praise the Lord. Good. All things are lawful. They're just not expedient. I don't mean to be leaving y'all out over here. Sophie, if you've been dipping, you need to let me know about it now. But that has to do with all your personal habits. You say what? Your ears. Presentation. Your ears, they can present stuff, talk to you, tell you things. Girls, oh girls, I talked to you a little bit at camp. Oh man, he'll tell you everything on that cotton picking telephone. You're the most beautiful girl I ever seen in my life. Oh girl, I can't live without you. I don't even know what I would. Man, when I see you, it's like the sun rose and set in my eyes. My heart shattered, boy, like an ice cube falling off of a roof. Icicle hit the concrete, busted all over the place. Ooh, girl. And you'd be like, Nowadays it's like this. Emoji. Right? You know I'm telling the truth. And you know what? It ain't changed. You know why? Because you like it. And guys, she'll catch you by how she looks. Anyway, presentation. You ought to be able to handle that. Got to move on. Illumination. What's going to happen to me if I do or don't? Some things don't need to be illuminated. You know right off Jump Street. Boys, if you have a problem with that, ask your mama or ask your wife. She'll tell you right quick, I know that ain't right. That girl just seems to be so sweet. She is Jezebel and the devil wrapped up in one. You better get away from that girl. I don't see how you see that in her. Don't you let your looks fool you, honey. She a liar. And the truth ain't in her. Hey, man, I know what I'm talking about. He's going to hurt me to my heart. Okay, well, good. Let him hurt you to your heart. It'd be all right. Better for you to get hurt than to get killed. Some things you don't need no studying. Boys, if a man walks up to you and tells you, listen, boy, you have lost your mind over that girl, you better reel it in. You know what you better do? You better listen to that old man. He knows something. He knows something. I just matchmaking stuff, man. That's for the stinking birds, man. You've lost your mind. You're sitting put out 30, 40, 50 years ahead of you trying to hook somebody up like you think it's going to be great. They wind up getting married and killing each other within 6 months. And you're thinking, well, I thought it was a match made in heaven. You know, I thought it was going to work out just perfect and all that. Oh, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah. And now you got divorce and a pregnant lady walking around 6 months pregnant. And she got a baby on the way and no daddy to raise it. All because, you know, you P5-4-5 and all that kind of stuff. And said, oh, I think this is a match made in heaven. Why don't you just stay out of it? I think it's an amazing thing to me. Nature's always found a way to be able to put the boys and the girls together. Have you ever noticed that? They don't need no encouragement. They need to be discouraged. Discouraged. Like, stay away. Amen. Don't look at me like that. It's like, come on, preacher. Like, you know, I'm getting old now. Old, that's all relative. I'm getting old. You? You're stinking little babies. You just got out of diapers like a year ago. Debate. Dangerous right here. You say, why? It should be clear by now what's right and wrong. There should be no debate. Amen. Debate is I'm not really having a hard time. Listen, if it's right, you've already done it. The debate comes in because you know it isn't right. And you're weighing out the consequences. And then the decision comes. I'm going to go ahead and do it. The action comes. She eats the fruit. She eats the fruit. She dies. Sin babies. David goes out, looks at Bathsheba, thinks, boy, and the Lord says, all right, it's enough. Get out of here now. Go on, go out, go to work, go to the field, go do what you need to do. Get off the rooftop, me all that. He inquired after her. Well, you know that you're the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Go ahead and bring her dinner. I don't have any ill-gotten means or nothing like that, but I think it'll be okay for us to have dinner together. And they did. And the baby died. Sin, when it is conceived, James chapter number 1, bringeth forth death. Let no man say when he is tempted of God. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Not by God. You did it. You say what? You ought to know yourself well enough to know that flesh is strong, boy. He can pull on you. He can pull on you hard. All right? Are we doing okay so far? If you don't have these written down already, I think we'll probably have to stop there because we're fixing to run out of time. It's after 8 o'clock. I don't know how the time goes by so stinking quick. I hope y'all aren't as bored as I am excited about telling you this. This is conscience in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and usually in the Old Testament is referred to as the heart. And we'll deal with that when I get back. 42 times the word conscience is mentioned in the Old and the New Testament. 38 of those times are found in the Pauline epistles. What's important about that, preacher? Well, then God must mean that for the church age, for people that are Christians, that God will use your conscience to give you direction. So you better make sure your conscience is backed up by the right thing. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you're only as strong as your weakest link. So if I want to be a strong Christian, you know what I have to do? I have to put stuff in that supports the right way of thinking. The conscience doesn't think. It responds to actions. It doesn't fault. It doesn't think. It responds. When you think in your heart, your conscience says, well, you're thinking wrong or you're thinking right. And your conscience will always, at judgment, your conscience will side with God. Now, you can sear that conscience. You can wound that conscience. You can dirty that conscience. You can defile that conscience. All those things are in the Bible. What do I want? I want a good conscience. What is a good conscience? It doesn't make any difference what man says it is, what Freud says it is, what Jung says it is, what Dr. Spock says it is. It doesn't matter what all the psychiatrists and psychologists said. What is a good conscience? It's one that's controlled by God. Here's a good one for you. How can I say I love the Lord and I can't love people around me? How can I say I'm right with the Lord and I'm not right with my husband or my wife? How can I say I love the Lord and I don't love the things He loves? The Bible, the church, etc., etc. You say, what is that? There's a lot more to a good conscience than you might imagine. So guess what? If that gets defiled, you'll see that's headed for major trouble. And guess what happens? Then you start doing things that doesn't bother you. I don't know if you know this or not, but oftentimes people will start to do something wrong, especially when they're young, and their conscience will scream at them, now you know this isn't right. And they go ahead and do it. And they practice doing wrong so long that it formulates how they think about it, and therefore that what used to be wrong is no longer wrong. It's actually right because nobody's hollering stop. And now you're headed for trouble because that thought process will bleed over into worse and worse acts. So you start off in a small way. I just took some fruit off of the stand and ate it while I was walking through the store, but it's really not that. First time you did, you felt like Adam and Eve taking fruit off a tree. Thinking, man, you took a little piece of candy, stuck it in your pocket, you know, walked out the rest of the store and nobody said nothing. And it's not that big of a deal. You took a kid's toy home. You kept one of the preacher's books too long at your house or whatever, something like that. But anyway, it didn't bother you. And then the next thing you know, maybe just a little bit more, and before long you're boosting stuff out of the store and getting it out and then keeping the tag on it and returning it back and getting the credit in the store, and now you've become a professional shoplifter. And then before long you're sitting down and you're planning home invasions. You say, well, why not? I mean, you know, what's the difference? It's just a little bigger get. You don't intend to hurt anybody. And then before long, you're going to have to do something to protect yourself in order to carry out the threat. And next thing you know, somebody is hurt. Oh, well, that's just the way things go. I mean, I gotta make a living, gotta support my habit. You say, never happened. In the Bible, that's what happens. I'll show you that. Ahithophel was one of David's greatest counselors. Did you know that? You know what happened because of bitterness, because Ahithophel was Bathsheba's granddaddy? You know what happened? That boy started giving counsel against David and started trying to support Absalom. And when Absalom didn't get in there, you know what bitterness did to Ahithophel? You know what his thought process did? You know what it finally did to him? He went up, threw a rope over a rafter, stuck his neck in it, and kicked the milk stool out from underneath him and swinging on that rope. You say, why? Thought process. Never checked it. Never got it straight. God, how can you let that man go on and be king? And how can you let my daughter, my granddaughter live in the palace? And how come this and how come that? And how come this and that and the other? That boy's bitter. You say, what happened? He didn't change his way of thinking. You say, what happened? I just showed you. It brings forth death. His sin wasn't in the rebellion. It was in his thought process. Let's stand together and be dismissed.